A Maundy Thursday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 31, 1994, in the series The Seven Words from the Cross, entitled Father, Into Thy Hands. The scripture readings are Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, and Luke 23, verses 44 through 49. The text for the sermon is Luke 23, verse 46. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Jesus' final words, as Luke paints the picture for us, the last word is a word of trust. For John, it had been a word of completion. For Mark, followed closely by Matthew, a word of abandonment. For Luke, a word of trust. Father, into thy hands I commit or commend my spirit, my life. Spirit, breath, wind, same word. The one who was conceived by the Spirit and baptized by the Spirit and ministered in the power of the Spirit now returns the Spirit to God who had given life in the beginning, and the cycle is complete. The last word in Luke's picture is a word of trust. You'll perhaps sense by now, as we come to the last of the seven words from the cross, that John's picture stands out by itself. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are closer to each other. Mark, the earliest, followed closely by Matthew. But there is some significant distance in Luke. The picture is different. It has a different feel. In Luke, the whole story is softened a bit. In the garden, the observance of which we are here tonight to celebrate, Jesus prays the same prayer as in Matthew and Mark. And then is ministered to by an angel who strengthens him. He prays more earnestly and sweats, as it were, great drops of blood. But there is missing that phrase about Jesus' soul being wrenched within him. For Luke in the garden, there was no breaking of that constant communion with God and that succor supplied by the angel of God. And then on the cross, Luke's Jesus gives us a most powerful witness to the good news of the gospel, the three words of Luke: Father, forgive them. Today, paradise. And finally, this word, a word of trust: Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. That trust was not a cheap article. It was not the consequence of sunny skies and smooth seas, birds singing, and all well. It was a word of trust that issued from one who was in the midst of hellish darkness without a scrap of evidence that everything that he had banked his life on was true. Jesus to me is believable, not because he was so full of confidence and went about with such great certainty, but because of the very vulnerability of his faith. His trust was not the trust of the religious fanatic who has no questions but only answers, sure and simple and certain. No David Koresh here, no Jim Jones, no Bible-thumping finger-pointing TV evangelist here. This one trusts in the darkness with fear and trembling. That's why I believe him. That's why I would follow him. That's why I would trust him when he finally is able to trust in the darkness. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Citing Psalm 31 and verse 5, a different citation than the citation Mark gives us, my God, why, from Psalm 22. Here in Luke's picture, we have Luke's conviction that this one who found no scattering of his night and no alleviation of his pain and no answer to his question died in trust nevertheless. And that is perhaps as powerful a witness, as powerful a statement of good news as I have to share with you anytime. For this trust is a trust that is unmovable. It is a trust in spite of everything. It is a trust that will not let go. It is a trust that finally issued from one who had lived in trust and died in trust, with the mystery and the terrible suffering still intact. And so he died. There's an old Lenten hymn that says, "Learn of Jesus Christ to die." And well, we might. Death is something that we face, all of us, as we lose those we love, or as we come to the point of our own terminus. Death, I learned over 10 years ago, is a matter that presses for some answer, some primal need in the human breast, no matter how far one may be removed from religious practice or faith. I learned it in the fall of 1983 when I went to the University of Michigan, where Hans Kuhn was lecturing in Holiness Seminar. And I saw that great secular university flock to the largest hall on campus to hear this man read a lecture for 2 hours on the subjects of death and judgment and purgatory and heaven and hell. And I thought to myself, no matter how sophisticated we become, no matter how far we may be removed from childhood faith or religious tradition, we humankind must die, and we know it, and we wonder about it, and every once in a while it erupts upon us, and we must face the fact that we will die. And the hymn says, "Learn of Jesus Christ to die." And well, we might. Death was never a terribly fearsome reality for me personally. If I may tell you my story tonight, it was because I suppose that my father being an elder and I being a child that came along lately, some would say a mistake, some would say a surprise. Nonetheless, when three sisters had been raised and gotten on with their lives, I was still there to be dealt with, and so I was dragged around to everything that my parents went to. And my father being an elder, I went to every funeral home in the city. It seemed like every Sunday night we were at a funeral home, somebody died in that congregation, and my father always went. And it was It was like death was so much a part of life. One Sunday night, I remember going to a couple with whom my parents were very close, and I called the lady Aunt Jenny, and I didn't realize, I was just a little child, I didn't realize how ill she was, and while we were there, she died. And I remember my father taking me by the hand and taking me into her bedroom, and there she lay on her bed, eyes wide open, breathing no more. And the minister came, and the funeral director was called, and I was a little child in the midst of all of that. I remember as a teenager coming to my grandparents' home to pick up my parents. It was also a Sunday night, it seems, and I came into the house, and my grandfather had died, and the clan was gathering, and at some moment, everyone gathered round, and my father led us all in prayer. And death was very much a part of life, but death was very much in the context of a deep trust in God. As a young seminarian, I preached one Sunday night on the air in Holland, Michigan, at a citywide hymn sing. A good friend of mine had lost a little child to leukemia. And it was a tragic loss and a great sorrow, but also the child had died so beautifully with a vision of angels. And I told that story, and then, as young preachers are wont to do, I generalized the experience and made as though it was a rather simple thing for everyone to die beautifully. And the next morning, one of the faculty members came to me and said, "I heard you on the radio last night." And I said, "Oh, how nice." And she said, "My father was a marvelous Christian man." And I said, "Oh." She said, "He died a terrible death." And I said, "Oh." And I learned then that one ought to be very reticent about the way one speaks about one's own departure from this life, and one ought to be very loath to generalize the way in which that will happen for anyone. Nonetheless, it didn't change my basic conviction that it is possible for us to learn of Jesus Christ to die and to deal with the reality of our mortality in a context of trust that will stand us well in the whelming flood. I loved the prayer as a child. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take." I understand there's a Revised Standard Version of that now. I called my granddaughter, Stephanie, tonight, and I said, "Steph, tell me your bedtime prayer." And she said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take." I said, "Good. You pray it just like Bumpa prayed it." And I am not a child psychologist, and I do believe that in the understanding of child development, there are some proper places at which to introduce certain ideas and certain stories to be told at certain times. But my experience would tell me that from a child, it is possible to wrap death in such fundamental trust that one will never forget it, and will be able to carry that into one's final moments. I prayed every night, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take." And I'm a bit embarrassed to tell you this next thing, but when I grew and long to the time when I began to formulate my own prayers upon retiring, I always concluded it with my childhood prayer. There was something about that word that spoke of the ultimate trust, a way through which to go in one's day, and a confidence with which to pillow one's head through the night. And I tell you that not simply to bear my soul to you tonight, but because Psalm 31:5, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit," was the "now I lay me down to sleep" of Jesus. It was the Hebrew child's bedtime prayer. In fact, it was the last petition of the evening prayers for the Hebrew people. And so when Luke portrays for us the final word of Jesus, he gives us the prayer that Mary taught her son when he was a child, when she tucked him into bed. The word he recited as he drifted off to sleep was, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit, O Lord God of truth." The only word that Luke adds is that word of address, that intimate word of address, "Father. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And he died. A word of trust. And if there is anything that we can take away from that, I would think that it would simply cause us to redouble our efforts and our commitment as parents and as grandparents and as a community of faith to recognize that it is those very earliest impressions imprinted upon the mind of the youngest child that travel with us through all our days. And if those impressions are impressions of trust, then even death wrapped in trust loses its fearsomeness and becomes for us the possibility of movement from life through death to life, which is eternal. The hymn says, "Learn of Jesus Christ to die." Well might we learn to trust in the beginning is to be able to trust in the end. And there is nothing, nothing, finally, that can shake us.